The 388th edition of the Four Corners Podcast starts right now.
This is the Four Corners Podcast.
I'm the luckiest guy in the world. I've said that. To be in Chapel Hill, to be at the University of North Carolina.
We win! 54 to 53! North Carolina did it! North Carolina wins the championship!
With 20 seconds left to play, goes back to Michael Jordan. Jumper from out on the left. Good! You're on the way to Worthy! Worthy 5! The Tar Heels are going to win the national championship!
Weber, front court, Carolina with foul. He takes the timeout.
Court. Williams on the drive, gets it back out to him. Long outside shot, short rebounded. May, it's over. Carolina has won the national championship. 89-72, and how about them Tar Heels? They are the national champions.
I've been the luckiest coach in the world.
Pump fake for three, too strong on the shot. That's it. The Tar Heels are the national dadgum champions.
Carolina has been tested and tried and been proven successful through all the years. And the way that we will play will be the Carolina way.
My love for North Carolina, I mean, I love this school, I love these fans, and I love everything about it, and I would die for this school, I really would.
Here are your hosts, Josh Marlowe and Anthony Pagnotta.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Four Corners Podcast. We are powered by Carolina Electrical Services. Josh and Anthony back with you guys once again today. Here to talk about the transfer portal and how much work Carolina actually needs to do. Now that Armando Bacot is back, now that RJ Davis is back and Seth Trimble has withdrawn from the transfer portal. We'll play some sound from Matt Norlander talking about RJ's decision to return and the work that Carolina is doing in the portal before we kind of dissect RJ's decision a little bit further and talk about the transfer portal as well. Have a scheduling note for Carolina that'll be a part of their non-conference schedule for the upcoming season. But we start every edition of the pod as we always do. Pod thought of the day. We go to Dr. J. Julius Irving for today's pod thought, and that thought is, quote, goals determine what you're going to be. And look, the goal for Carolina every year, win an ACC regular season championship. I'd probably say it's a goal to be a one seed in the NCAA tournament to get to play closer to home the first weekend and a preferred destination in the regional, but then the goal from there is to make the Final Four, win the national championship. It's not often that Carolina meets that goal because it's, we believe, winning a national championship in college basketball, the toughest championship that there is to win. So with that, you got to put yourself in a position to achieve all of those goals. Carolina did that this past season, winning an ACC regular season title, being a one seed in the tournament. They bow out in the Sweet 16. The challenge for Hubert Davis this offseason is to put together a roster that can replicate that regular season success, but put the team in a better position for a deeper tournament run. And Carolina took a step towards that with RJ Davis set to return for next season, with Seth Trimble withdrawing from the transfer portal. He's back as well for Carolina. But to really solidify themselves and to really set those goals and achieve those goals, Carolina does have to add through the transfer portal. And this is nothing new. This has been the task for Hubert Davis every offseason since he became Carolina's head coach. And two of the 3 years, he's gotten it right. You know, he got it right his first year, bringing in Brady Manek. He was an integral part of that team's run to the national championship game that year. And this past season, Harrison Ingram, Cormac Ryan, Paxson Wojcik, guys that were a part of the fabric and the culture being restored in Chapel Hill. And they all three played a role in Carolina winning an ACC regular season title, winning 29 games and making the Sweet 16. And kind of as we've been talking throughout the offseason, because there's a lot of unrest within the fan base about the lack of work Carolina has done so far in the portal. It takes Carolina time. And two of the three off seasons, should give you confidence that Hubert Davis and his staff will get it right, and put together the best roster possible for Carolina to achieve all the goals that will be laid out before them going into next year.
Well, especially since he did it last year, where they got off to a slow start, they found their guys that they really liked, they focused in on them, and really started to turn the heat up when they needed to. And you're starting to get the feeling that they're doing that with the guys that they really value right now. And that's the thing. That's why, right, it's hard for me to believe that people just panic. Actually, it's really not that hard for me to believe, especially since this fan base, I mean, all it took were a couple of down seasons, and this fan base is as jaded as just about any. They think that they expect everything to go wrong. Anytime that another team lands a guy over Carolina, they automatically panic and blame Hubert Davis. It's something that he's doing, when really it's guys that honestly just probably don't want to buy into what Hubert Davis is selling, that are guys that are searching for more NIL money than to be with a team that they fit well and that they're coming in to compete for. And so I think, you know, at the end of the day, these guys are going to, like, if they are Tar Heel, true guys that want to play for the Tar Heels, they will find their way to Chapel Hill. And I think we've seen it the last few years. I mean, even with Pete Nance, you know, he was a guy that at the time that Carolina got him, we were pretty excited about it. We thought this was a pretty solid move. Now, they'd missed on some other guys that we thought probably fit a little bit better, but we still thought it was going to work, and that was one of the better gets. It was just one that didn't fit because you were trying to force him to be something that he wasn't. But Hubert Davis, in the offseason, he has done a great job each and every year that he's been here of going out, getting what he needs, and getting a guy that can at least contribute at that position in some way. And so I trust that, I mean, in my mind, Carolina needs to add three guys in the portal. They need to add a big man. They have to get a guy that can be that perimeter shooter from the outside. And as of right now, they have to find a replacement for Harrison Ingram. So basically a 3-and-D guy. I trust Hubert Davis to go out and find that in this transfer portal cycle.
Yeah, and look, with the RJ Davis news and the Seth Trimble news, the to-do list got shorter, because had Trimble never came back, Carolina may not have filled that roster spot in the portal, but they would have attempted to. And had RJ not come back, they most definitely would have put on the full court press to go bring in a lead guard to try to find a way to replace the lost production of what would have been the ACC Player of the Year and an All-American. But the good news is Carolina does not have to do that anymore. So with that, let's get into this Matt Norlander sound that we're about to play for you. And it's a little long, a little over 2 minutes, but there's a lot to unpack, starting with RJ Davis's decision to return to Chapel Hill and the work that Carolina has to do and is looking to do in the transfer portal. So here's Matt Norlander talking about RJ Davis's decision and the transfer portal on CBS Sports HQ.
Listen, North Carolina is going to be a consensus top 10 team heading into next season, has a chance to be top five. Our own Gary Parrish, he does the way too early top 25 and one that my man has to update daily at this point with so much roster change across the sport. And he's got UNC at the top five. I think that's fair. He has had them there with the expectation RJ Davis would return. And in fact, yes, it's not yet official. It will be made official in the coming days here. RJ Davis is going to return for a fifth and final season. And here's why this is so big. In addition to Elliot Cadeau, we're on the point. RJ Davis is a lead guard. Seth Trimble, obviously a key player there. Seth Trimble really debated on transferring and reconsidered. He's coming back. I think that's a key decision. But RJ Davis, a first team All-American. He's the most accomplished player in the sport set to return. He's the only first team All-American coming back. And then with the expectation that, say, Hunter Dickinson would return at Kansas. There's only really two of the top 15 or so best players in the sport, most accomplished, if you will, that are returning, and Davis is the only first teamer. So he's a guy who is unafraid of the big moment. He's one of the better players in the history of the program, doesn't have a real NBA future at this stage of his career. So I want to be clear here that he's not going to test the NBA waters. He has made his decision, and they will be announcing that in the coming days there. And with that, Carolina still has more to do. They're still in the portal. They're looking for a big man. Hopefully there's someone that they can add there. We'll see who that is. Adu Thierro has been a name that's been attached to UNC. We'll see if that actually winds up happening or not. But they need another big to play alongside Jalen Washington. And then they're also, in my story up at CBSSports.com, details, there are three key guards that are in the portal that Carolina has been in contact with, that it hopes to land one of them. And that's Andre Starkovich out of Stanford, Kate Tyson out of Belmont, or Kobe Brea out of Dayton. If it can get one more of those guards, then UNC would have a case probably to be potentially number one heading into the season, because it's also bringing in Ian Jackson and Drake Powell. Those are two five-star guards and wings as well. So UNC is loaded up from a team that obviously was a one seed, but saw its season end in disappointing fashion, ironically enough, with Davis not having a good game in that Sweet 16 loss to Alabama.
Yeah.
All right, first thing I want to do, and I don't have to do this, choosing to do this, is come to the defense of Matt Norlander, who, and we got a little bit of it because we wrote an article for HeelToughBlog.com about the Norlander report about R.J. Davis coming back to Carolina. But there was a lot of negativity thrown Matt Norlander's way, and a lot of Carolina fans going after him on social media. And look, I'm not just saying this because I listened to his podcast, but this guy he's not an enemy in the media. This is a guy that, you know, grew up loving college basketball and, you know, just loves to report about it and then loves to talk about it. He doesn't have a history of some other reporters in the industry of being a bad guy. He just does his job and does it, in my opinion, really, really well. And you know, I'm sure you saw it as well. And a lot of people were mad that he just flat out reported the news, and then that he didn't allow Inside Carolina to break the news first. You know, there was a tweet from, and bear with me here, Leaky Crack tweeted at Matt Norlander.
Oh, lovely.
This is RJ's news to share first, then Cheryl McMillan's, a lead writer for Inside Carolina, to share second. Be better. And Norlander quotes the tweet and says, quote, "As hesitant as I am to give this Leaky Crack fella some amplified attention, I got to be clear on this, since some UNC fans have gotten weird online caping for a fully grown man who's about to become a millionaire and isn't friends with any of you. That's not how this works." And guys, if that offends you, then get thicker skin, because RJ Davis will be the biggest returning superstar in college basketball next season. And with that, his decisions and what he does is going to be reported on by the national media, as well as the local media. And there's nothing wrong with that. Like, he was comfortable enough letting the decision to get out to where a source that has the relationship with Matt Norlander felt comfortable telling him that. And dude, Norlander's a guy that was at the forefront of the John Calipari news when Calipari left Kentucky for Arkansas, you know, at 11:30 on Sunday night, the night before the championship game. He's not just out here writing articles for clicks. He's not out here just doing this to get attention. He works for CBS Sports. He has as big a platform as anybody does in college basketball. So that's the first thing I wanted to say, is as a guy that supports his work and really admires his work, was really disappointed in the way that the Carolina fan base attacked him. Because while we live in the player empowerment era, you know, this stuff gets reported on by the national media. It doesn't just happen at Carolina. It happens at Duke, Kansas, Kentucky, Indiana, UCLA. You play at a blue blood and you're a player with the status of R.J. Davis, it's going to be hard for him to release that news on his own. When he announced he was coming back after the championship loss, much easier. He wasn't the face of that championship team. When he announced he was coming back last year, it wasn't the biggest decision. That was Armando Bacot's, which I think, if I remember correctly, the national media reported that before Armando made it official. So,
and there wasn't the uproar.
And now that, you know, now that that status now belongs to RJ, like, yeah, we may have wanted to hear from RJ first. We were always going to hear it from someone else before RJ Davis, more than likely. And with that, I just got to say, just disappointed in the way our fan base reacted to what should have been a positive news drop from one of the best in the business.
I mean, I don't know if I would say I'm disappointed. Like, I get where Tar Heel fans are coming from, because it's the mindset of you want to let college guys sort of have their own moment and everything like that. But I mean, dude, this is where this sport is at now. It's on the radar. You have some of the biggest and best that cover this sport. And, yeah, when you get a scoop like that, and, you know, for Norlander to report on it, I mean, that shows you that it's something that he really trusts, because he's not a guy that drops scoops. He's not a reporter. He is a guy that is a college basketball analyst, and he is just stumbled into, because of his connections in the industry, two of the bigger stories of this offseason. And, you know, I don't think anybody can really be mad at him for that. I get it that the people see how it's done with high school recruits, but, I mean, even with some of the high school recruits, when they're big enough names, there are times where stuff does get leaked out. And they also do these announcements usually through one of these types of websites if they're big enough recruits. This is different. This is what it's going to be like in professional sports as well. So, I mean, the thing is that these guys are getting paid now, so they're bordering on being, you know, professionals. I think that's where, you know, the frustration that many people have with this, I mean, it starts to go out the window a little bit, because these guys, this is what they want. They want to be paid. They want to be covered the way that the NBA is covered. And that's what Matt Norlander's doing. So, yeah, I mean, to me, I'm not angry at anybody. I just think that it's something that has to be understood, that this is really the way that things are, especially for guys that are that connected in college sports nowadays.
The one last thing from the RJ stuff before we get into the portal, which is the main reason why we're here today. And we didn't really talk about it a whole lot in depth the other night, mainly because emotionally your host was all over the place just from the fact that he was coming back to Chapel Hill. How surprised are we that he ultimately didn't end up at least testing the NBA waters?
I guess mildly surprised. I could have seen it go either way, because ultimately, do I think he ends up in the NBA? No. Do I think it's right? Hell no. I think he should get an opportunity. I've been the one that's been on here all season preaching that this is a dude that is an NBA player because of the way that he can fill it up when he gets hot. And he creates his own shot. He's a guy that is, you know, even for his size, physical, gets downhill, gets to the basket. He's aggressive. That's what you're looking for in NBA guards. And I think if he landed in the right spot, he could eventually succeed, at least be an end of the roster type player. So to me, like, I'm a little shocked that he didn't go ahead and just test the waters, see what he needed to improve on. But I think ultimately, I don't know if it was maybe Carolina's guys, you know, that they, I'm assuming, have somebody that, and I would venture a guess that it's probably Pat Sullivan. I believe that was his role when he came in. That was part of his role, was NBA relations. I would imagine that's still something that he does. So basically, he just advises guys on what NBA people are saying about them and whether or not he feels like they should go to the NBA. He probably told him, look, they are giving you no shot because you are too small. So, honestly, it's probably not even worth testing the waters. And, yeah, it's, to me, again, it is sad, but I think that's the reality for RJ, because people just for some reason can't overlook the height with him.
I think what the fact that he's not even going through the NBA draft process to begin with, I think it tells you how much he wants to be back in Chapel Hill and how there was probably a greater chance than we probably thought to begin with he was coming back once the season came to an end. I don't like the fact that he's not an NBA player. It's just kind of the nature of the way that the league is played and what the league wants from their guards. But, you know, if he comes back and continues to show that he can create separation on his own, shoot over taller defenders, if he does what he did last year again, I think it'd be too hard to deny that he at least has a chance to make the NBA. But the thing I look at it is, I think this is a kid that at his core just loves being a Tar Heel, loves playing for Hubert Davis, loves putting on that jersey, walking out that tunnel, playing on that floor, and knows that he's making money now. You would imagine his NIL will get a significant increase. I'm going to buy as much NIL merchandise as I can to help him out for coming back for another season. And he knows that, you know, that opportunity will still be there. And even if it's not in the NBA, he can go somewhere else and make a living playing professional basketball. Now, this news came down on Tuesday. We're sitting here on Thursday, and RJ, as of recording, has not yet made it officially official. When do we expect the reigning ACC Player of the Year to make it known publicly from himself he's coming back?
I honestly have no idea. I think it's one of those things where he's just going to wait, and I don't know if maybe now it's going to be something where he, you know, does it with one of his NIL partners, something like that, creates an event out of it because it's something that's already kind of out there. Maybe it's some sort of like celebration party that he is returning, something like that. But I would expect it'll probably be sometime in the near future. I would not be shocked if it is over this weekend.
Yeah, me neither. But
here's the thing.
It could also be next week.
We have no idea because there's nobody that's telling us anything. So, like, this is literally just us speculating when we could possibly, like, when we would guess this would happen.
Yeah, I mean, I'm ready for him to make it officially official. I haven't got a full night's sleep since the news came down because I keep checking my phone, waiting to see if he's made it officially official. So, I'm kind of running on fumes over here. But the good news is unless just a drastic change takes place, number four will be back in Carolina blue next year. Now let's get to kind of the back half of that audio from Matt Norlander and really why we're here today, which is to talk about, I guess, a transfer portal to-do list. Because, you know, with Davis back, I think Carolina, bare minimum, preseason top 10 team. And I think they'll be the favorite to win the ACC, even over Duke with all the star-studded freshmen that they're bringing in. But they can move themselves into the top five, maybe the preseason number one team for the second time in 3 years, with the work that they do in the transfer portal filling out the roster. You know, they got some news today that they are a finalist for Andre Stojakovic, along with Kentucky and California. They're also a finalist for the Dayton transfer, Kobe Bray, who is the best perimeter shooter in the portal. Of course, they're coming off a weekend where they hosted Cade Tyson, the second best perimeter shooter in the portal. We saw photos today of Hubert Davis reportedly in Lexington as they are heavily involved with Madu Thierro. And then Jonas Adu was set to visit Chapel Hill after he takes a visit to Arkansas.
Sounds like we should be panicking. Yep.
So with all that, and that's a lot of just news information. How much work does Carolina actually have to do in the transfer portal to really solidify themselves as the team to beat in the ACC and a front runner to get back to the Final Four?
Ooh, Well, front runner to get back to the Final Four, I think you got to land all three of those things that I talked about. I think you need that big. To me, that's a need for you to even be considered the ACC, the favorite in the ACC in the preseason. I also think that you probably have to find that replacement for Harrison Ingram. And if you can get that 3-and-D guy, I think that's probably enough to make you the preseason favorite in the ACC. And maybe that makes you a Final Four contender because, I mean, Duke is a team that I think a lot of people, there's a lot of people that are going to try to make the case that Duke should be the preseason number one overall team. But I think if Carolina really wants to put it over the top, like put it this way, if they want to be what Matt Norlander said, which is preseason number one in the country, then you've got to add that perimeter shooter. I don't think it's as big of a need as it was if they did not bring back R.J. Davis, because R.J. Davis showed last year that he is a guy that is capable of carrying you from beyond the arc at times. With him out of, if he would have moved on to the NBA or just, you know, called his college career over, you would be talking about Carolina desperately needing somebody that could knock three-pointers down from the outside at a consistently high rate. I think they're still going to look very aggressively there. I think they are still very high on Cade Tyson. The fact that they're in on Kobe Bray, I think it shows that they are making an effort to get that perimeter shooter. But I think the most important things they have to get right now are a big man, number one, and that 3-and-D guy, number two.
Yeah, look, I think if Carolina lands Adu or Amori, to me, with RJ coming back, with 2 5-star freshmen coming in, you know, you're bringing back a Trimble, you're bringing back a Cadeau, Jalen Washington's poised to take that step forward. I think that would probably vault Carolina as to a preseason top five team.
Right.
But to be a national championship contender, they've got to add shooting to the roster. Because RJ can carry you for the regular season. But it's why we talk so much going into the tournament. Other guys had to make perimeter shots for them to really get to the Final Four.
Well, and do not count out the possibility that Ian Jackson and Drake Powell can be guys that can come in and do that.
Yeah, they can. I think with the way that the sport is trending now, where you would prefer or you would expect that type of consistent production to come from an older player. Not to say that a freshman can't do it, won't do it. I mean, look at Kentucky's. I mean, their freshmen carried their offense for the majority of the season. It ended in a first round tournament exit. But Carolina has to add that perimeter shooting. When you look at them being a finalist for the Dayton transfer, how much do we actually believe that's real? Because for Carolina to quote unquote be a finalist, there's as little to intel on him as maybe any other transfer they've been involved with, seriously, in the history of the portal. Like, you look at his finalist, and there's a common theme there. They're all virtually blue blood programs.
Yep.
So is Carolina really in play, or is Carolina a leverage piece for him to get an extra, you know, couple bands and NIL money?
Well, I asked one of our Duke friends about this, and he said that Duke is in on him. It looks like UConn is in on him. So I think there's a chance that this is real. I just feel like this is one of those situations that I don't know if they just are not really able to get in contact with him, if the program is really trying to keep things quiet. Like, maybe it might be this. Maybe they prefer Cade Tyson first, and Kobe Bray is their guy that they're looking at adding if Cade Tyson falls through. I will be interested to see, the longer that we go without a Cade Tyson commitment, what ends up happening with Bray. Do you start to see things pick up? Because, I mean, it is starting to get, I'm not going to say concerning, but it is a little odd that we are getting as far away from his visit. I thought for sure when he left Tennessee without committing. Hubert Davis goes to Nashville and meets with him. He then comes to Chapel Hill. I thought for sure this dude was maybe not going to commit on the spot, but I feel like we would have had something by this point. And we've got nothing. So I don't know what to believe. And at some point, like, Carolina can't just keep waiting around. They have to do something else, and that could be where they end up getting involved with Bray. To me, I think either one of those guys would be great additions, because you're talking about the number three three-point shooter in terms of percentage last season in the country in Tyson, and the number one three-point shooter percentage-wise in the country last year in Bray. So, I mean, either way you go, you are getting an elite three-point shooter. And then behind them, I think if for some reason you miss on both of those guys, that's when you turn to Stojakovic.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think, you know, the fact that they're a finalist for Stojakovic, I think, tells you that there's value there from both ends. I think Carolina is very much interested in him, former McDonald's All-American. And they just had a successful experience bringing a transfer from Stanford into their program. It worked out really well for Harrison Ingram. You put Stojakovic around better players, better coaching. You know, I think you'd see better production as opposed to a guy that shot 41% from the field last year, 33% from behind the three-point line. In our minds, I think, you know, he is behind Bray and Tyson from a desire standpoint. And I'm with you. I thought the latest, you know, going into last week, and I thought by Sunday night we would have been doing a live edition of the pod of Cade Tyson being the first transfer to land at Carolina. It didn't happen. We're still sitting here waiting for Carolina to land their first transfer. And something that we've kind of talked about throughout is preaching patience. Just this week, a year ago, I think, what's today's date? The 25th? The 23rd, 24th is when they landed Harrison Ingram of April 2023. So,
yeah, today's the 25th, so it's a day later, so people are definitely in their panic shelters, I'm assuming.
Well, and you got to remember, Carolina's season ended March 10th.
Also,
talking almost five, six weeks after their season came to an end.
Right.
Carolina landed their first transfer. And this was with Hubert Davis, or no, not their first transfer, but one of their most important transfers. And that was with Hubert Davis saying, bleep the NIT, I'm going to get players.
Yeah, they had plenty of more time to develop relationships. Also, I would encourage people, take a look around what just happened today. You had two of the better transfers in the portal just enter today. A guy in the Kentucky big man, Onwensu. I don't remember exactly how to pronounce his first name, so I'm going to leave that out. But he entered earlier this week. Those are legitimate guys that Carolina could go after. Like Norchad Omier, who entered today out of Miami. I mean, How high on the list does he go? I mean, he's got to be way up there, right? We know exactly what this dude's all about. He's played in the ACC. He's succeeded in the ACC. Now, he's a little bit smaller, but he's shown you that he can handle playing that big man role and do it at a high level.
He's played five out with him.
And he's played in a Final Four. So he's been there before. So, like, my thing is people want to rush and say, wow, we got to get somebody. I'm going to tell you, let's be honest. If you sit down and really debate it back and forth, who's better, him or Umar Ballo? I'd probably say him. I think he might actually be a better fit for Carolina because he would elevate them in certain areas. So, I mean, that's the thing. Do not panic. Guys, there is a plan here. And look, Adu seems like a guy that Carolina is still aggressively pursuing. You mentioned Amori. I think Carolina's probably, honestly, they're probably out on him because we've seen he's been tied to Georgetown. Think he may have taken a visit there or is going to take a visit there. Alabama's another school that he has a visit scheduled to. We've heard nothing on Carolina here recently. But even if the guys that Carolina ends up getting involved with at the end, come down to Adu, possibly Norchad Omier if they want to get involved there, and maybe Onwensu out of Kentucky. I mean, is anybody going to complain about that group? Like, there are still great options out there. This notion that they're running out of options, it's just not true.
Yeah, no, it's not. You know, I'm of the opinion that, and this kind of changed when we got the Adu news, that this roster would maybe come together by the end of the weekend, where I think, you know, you get RJ back, guys know who they're coming to play with. Not saying that I think this is happening, but I think this is a discussion that's worth having. How much, with the NIL commitment, you would imagine Carolina made to get their best player back? How much do you think RJ coming back could stand in the way of some of these bigger transfer targets coming to Carolina? Because maybe a guy like Bray looked at it and said, well, I could go to Carolina and maybe be one of their primary focuses because RJ's not coming back. Does he want to share a backcourt? Does he want to share perimeter responsibilities with RJ?
Well, I mean, for him, I mean, come on. I would really hope that's not a factor in his decision. He's a dude that literally played off the bench last year at Dayton and still averaged 15 a game. Like, that to me, that would make no sense.
Oh, I mean, I'm just like putting this, you know, playing devil's advocate. Because people are going to look at it and say, if Carolina keeps missing on these guys, let's say they miss on Stojakovic, let's say Adu goes to Arkansas, there will be that notion that Carolina committed too much financially to RJ Davis to put the best team around him for him to come back and be a part of a Final Four caliber team. Like, that conversation within the fan base will exist. I think it'd be ludicrous. I still think, as long as Carolina adds a big, if your two freshmen are what they're supposed to be, I think Carolina would have the pieces to be a Final Four caliber team. But, you know, with where the fan base is and has been before the RJ Davis news, if they don't add the perimeter shooter that they need and the big man that they need, there will be those rumblings in Tar Heel Nation that we committed too much to RJ to really put the best roster together going into next year.
Well, I mean, that would just be ridiculous. I mean, I'm going to tell you, if Carolina, if you think that this team was going to be that successful without RJ Davis, I don't know how to help you. If you think that Jordan Pope being the main scoring guard for this team with Kay Tyson and Jonas Adu, you think that's a team that is better than whatever you could put around RJ Davis, I mean, then you're just looking to start arguments. Like, it doesn't matter what it took to get RJ Davis back. That is the best player in the country. He will be, mark it down right now, he should be the preseason player of the year in the country. Will he be? Probably not. They're probably going to give it to Cooper Flagg because they're going to kiss that kid's rear the entire year. But he should be the preseason player of the year nationally. And to me, nobody should ever question what Carolina had to do to get him back, even if they feel like it's going to cost them. It's not. Carolina's got the money. But Hubert Davis recruits in the portal a certain way. He is not going to just say, hey, we have to spend so and however much money this guy wants because we need to bring him in that desperately. He might just be here for the money, but we need him that badly. No, we don't need any kid that badly. It's really this simple. This is the mindset for Carolina basketball, as it should be, is that we will give you a certain amount of money, but ultimately, we're looking for guys that want to come here because they want the opportunity to win at the highest level. Because you're Carolina basketball. You're not the other major program on campus. Carolina football, you have to pay as much money as possible to get people to play for you. Because you don't have a track record of success like Carolina basketball does. Carolina basketball doesn't need that. You're finding the guys that fit well, that are bought in, that want to be a part of a team that's going to compete for a national championship. And if these guys are looking for money, then let them go.
We may have done this the other night, but I figured if we did, we'll do it again here because we've got more intel from the portal. when it's all said and done, how many guys do you think Carolina ultimately ends up adding?
Three. They have four scholarship spots available. I think it'll be three, and it'll be the spots that I talked about. I think you'll have one big man. If I had to say right now, I would say that it'll be Adu. And again, it's just all pure speculation. I think they will add a wing. I do think that it will be they'll add the perimeter shooter wing. That's what I'm saying. That'll be Cade Tyson. And then I think they'll add the 3-and-D guy. And I think they will get Adu Thierro. I think I'll be confident. I think they turn up the heat. That's part of what they're doing today, the photos that are surfacing of Hubert in Lexington. That's why he's there, and I think it works. They add those three, and that extra scholarship spot goes to one of the walk-ons.
I think Carolina goes three as well. I think they bring in Adu. I think they bring in Tyson. And then I think the connection with Stanford pays off, and I think they actually bring in Andre Stojakovic. And I think that's the three that Carolina adds. And if those are the three that Carolina brings in, with RJ back, Elliott back, Trimble back, we assume Jalen Withers is back for next year. You're bringing in 2 5-star freshmen. You get another offseason of Jalen Washington in the offseason program. Zaden High doesn't appear to be going anywhere. I think when we look at the roster top to bottom, I think we'll see the favorite to win the ACC regular season and a team that will be, at worst, a preseason top five team and a trendy pick to at least make the Final Four, if not win the national championship. That's our look at the transfer portal to-do list. Before we get out of here, we do have some closing notes we got to go over, but first we got to play you a quick word from one of our partners. Hey there, Josh here for the Autograph Fandom app. Want to get rewarded for listening to our show? The team at Autograph, co-founded by Tom Brady, is redefining the fan experience by letting users earn points for the acts of fandom they take every day, like listening to this show. The Autograph Fandom app gives you access to your favorite UNC content in one place and offers rewards like tickets, exclusive merchandise, and much more. You're already listening to our show, but now you can earn points and get rewarded for it. Head over to the Apple App Store and search for Autograph Fandom Rewarded and download it today for free using the referral code HEALTOUGH. Link and code are also in our podcast description. Welcome back inside the Four Corners Podcast. Josh and Anthony hanging out with you guys. Going over the transfer portal to-do list. Make sure you use that promo code on the Autograph Fandom app and help us help you get rewarded for being a Carolina fan. The closing note is Carolina did get some scheduling news out there today. They will host LaSalle on December 14th as a part of their 2024 non-conference schedule. The first time they've met the Explorers since the 1988 season. So quickly, Carolina's non-conference schedule is kind of filling up with all of their commitments. You know, they have Maui, the CBS Sports Classic, the Jumpman Invitational, the ACC-SEC Challenge. They're going to be at Kansas for what very well could be the season opener to start the year. So not too many games left to be filled for Carolina, and one of their few, easy games in the first 2 months of the year has been filled. That game will be against, once again, LaSalle on December 14th. But with that, guys, it is going to wrap up this edition of the podcast. Before we let you go, we do encourage you, visit the website, Heel Tough Blog, for the latest and the best Carolina basketball, Tar Heel football coverage. Got the article up about Stojakovic having Carolina in his final three for his transfer portal recruitment. Of course, you can go back and read about Trimble coming back, RJ Davis being on board to return for the next season. Any news and notes that come out of the transfer portal, we'll be sure to have you covered. NFL draft, it's tonight. Anthony has you ready for a preview for where guys are expected to go in the draft. We'll be recapping where all the guys ultimately end up, including Drake May, who will be a first-round pick this evening. To make it easy on you guys, we just encourage you to visit the website, every single day, HeelToughBlog.com, for the latest and the best Carolina basketball, Tar Heel football coverage. As for the podcast, you guys know where to find us. Every major podcasting platform, simply search the Four Corners Podcast where we will pop up. We're there. We encourage you guys to rate, review, and subscribe. That way you don't miss any editions of the show throughout the basketball off season. Well, with that, guys, this is going to wrap up this edition of the show. Do want to thank Anthony once again for hosting with me. We want to thank you guys for listening. And as always, go Tar Heels!
Guys, it just doesn't get any sweeter than that!